Shoot. These sheep are getting bigger all the time. I can't preach without my sheep, man. And they're fat, aren't they? And Gerard, I looked all over for a black one. Listen, Karen, you can take one home and dye it if you want. I looked everywhere. These are fat. That's a flat sheep there. Fat sheep, flat sheep. Where's the stewards? Oh, gosh. So, why did you do that? Someone got something I could wipe my shoe off with. Sheep men are nasty sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, there's one left. There's two strangled ones back here trying to get away from the shepherd. That's what sheep do, amen? They try to isolate themselves. See, can't get to them sometimes. I got to keep them out here. But this is fat sheep number four. We're preaching today. How many of you getting this? Starting to understand that God wants you to be fat? And I don't mean physically. Some of you have been taking this way too personal. Yeah. But I don't mean physically. I do believe God's in the business of raising fat sheep. And it's the mandate I believe he's given this ministry for 2010 is, and beyond, is to feed my sheep. Okay, build them up, strengthen them, cause them to expand and grow and become all that I want them to become. And see, because you're God's sheep, amen? You're not my sheep, you're God's sheep. You belong to him. So here's what we're going to do here at Rock Church. We're going to feed you, and we're going to feed you, and we're going to feed. Now, I can't make you swallow it, but I'm going to feed you, amen? We're going to feed you until the truth of God's word is in you and you believe it and you receive it and you start manifesting the benefit of that in your life. See, I want God's fatness to kind of permeate every area of your life. So our goal is that every one of you attain to the whole measure of the stature of Christ in every area of your life. That's in Ephesians 4:13. I believe we're in line with God when we say that. God wants every one of you to attain to the full measure, the stature of Christ in every area of your life. God wants you to be fat. So I'm going to throw up on here my definition of fat sheep. Now, someone asked me about it, said, Pastor, you need to make it clear. So there it is. I wrote it down. It's on the screen. You can memorize it. Listen, over the next few weeks, we're going to be on this series, finishing it up. I want you to memorize this. Fat sheep. This is the definition. Fat sheep are so full of what God has promised them that it attracts the world to Christ while it's spilling out of them. Amen? I want you to be so full of God and what God has for you. And I want you to learn how to get full of God if you're not full of God. And so that as it's spilling out of you, it's attracting the world to Jesus Christ. I believe that's how God wants to use every one of us. Anybody in agreement with me on this thing? Okay. I need a little help here now. Okay. There's the definition. I want you to become full measure believers. Okay. I believe God wants you to be fat. Listen, here's what I believe God wants you to be fat with. I believe God wants you to be fat, P-H-A-T, fat with his potential, fat with his purpose, fat with his spirit, fat with his character, fat with his provision. Everything I believe God wants you to be, I can back up with the word of God, okay? Everything I believe God wants you to be, I can back up with the word of God. So that's what I want to take a minute to do. I have some biblical, how many want some biblical evidence? Amen? I have some biblical evidence of God's fatness for your life. Okay, now let me give it to you. Here's some examples. In Matthew 6:33, I preached on this one a little bit. In Matthew 6:33, the gospel writer exhorts the followers of Jesus Christ. Do I have any followers of Jesus Christ in the house today? Okay. So the gospel writer exhorts the followers of Jesus Christ to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, what he's alluding to here is the fact that we need to be fat with the purpose of God. That's why we're here. The kingdom of God is first. The purpose of God is first. God wants that to be the motivation of our life, guys. Everything else, the other things in life are important. We need things in life. But God's kingdom, his eternal kingdom that he's building that's going to last forever and ever, is a priority in the mind of God because it's going to last forever and ever. Amen? And he wants that to be our priority. Matthew 6, 33. Okay? Okay, number two here. In Acts chapter 1, 8, the early church was instructed to wait in Jerusalem until they be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Until they be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's talking about being fat with the Spirit of Christ. God doesn't want to just give you a little tickle now and then, amen, of his Spirit. God wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit, amen. He wants it oozing out of you, man. He wants, just, I don't even want to get into that. I got a whole sermon on that thick honey kind of a thing, amen. But God wants his Spirit to be pouring into your life so it can be pouring out of your life. It's in the scriptures. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. I'm going to actually read that one to you. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Listen to this. This is talking about the character of the Christian life. This is talking about being fat with God's character. And listen to this. The fruit of the Spirit, when you're filled with the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the manifestation of the operation of the Spirit of God in your life, if the Spirit of God is really controlling your life, if you've received that filling and the Spirit of God is controlling your life, this is the character that your life should be manifesting, okay? Now, you may not be there right now, but this isn't to beat you up. This is to challenge you. This is where God wants you. This is what he's provided for you. This is what the blood of Jesus has brought to your life, okay? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That represents the character of Christ, and God wants you fat with that character. Amen? Everyone getting that? God wants you fat with the character of Christ. Philippians 4:13, the Apostle Paul says, concerning himself and other believers, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can do what? We can do all things. So he's talking about the potential, being fat with the potential of Jesus Christ. Because you are a vessel of God, because you're one of his sheep, and his Spirit has been poured out and deposited into you, now the potential of Jesus resides within you. So you can't sit back and say, I can't do nothing, I'll never be nothing, I can't accomplish nothing. No, the Bible says that you can do all things, amen, through Christ who strengthens. There ain't nothing you cannot do if you got Jesus Christ residing within you. Amen? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So all things means in the Hebrew or Greek, all things. Amen? All things means all things. Just in case you were wondering about that. Now, in Romans 12:2, the Apostle Paul exhorts us to not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Listen, he's talking about being fat with the truth, amen? Fat with the truth of Christ. So you need, listen guys, you and I need to know the truth, amen? You need to know what the Word of God teaches. You need to know the truth so you can stand on the truth, so you can use the sword of the truth to fight the devil when he comes after you. How many ever been in a spiritual battle? Amen. How many ever felt like the devil was breathing down your neck? Well, you can't quote comic book strip stuff at him. You got to give him some truth. Amen. You got to resist the devil with some truth. So God wants his people fat with the truth. 2 Corinthians 9:11, the Apostle Paul tells us, this is the one I'm going to kind of spend some time on today. This is where I'm going to finish. I like this. 2 Corinthians 9:11, the Apostle Paul tells us that we will be enriched in every way so that we can be generous on every occasion. And what's he talking about, enriched in every way? He's talking, I know this will mess some of you up, but he's talking about God wants you to have enough money to take care of yourself. Anybody with me on that? Amen? God wants to provide for his people abundantly. He wants you fat with the provision of Jesus Christ. Okay? Y'all are just, I'm at the library today. Every one of these scriptures alludes to our, listen, every one of these scriptures I mentioned, this is what's interesting. Every one of these alludes to our expanding and our abounding in the blessing of God as his children. God wants his sheep fat in every one of these areas. Now, you may not be there yet, but that doesn't mean God doesn't want you there. Amen? This is why I'm trying to get you there, okay? We're gonna. Some of you are still here. I understand that, okay? And I'm going to point you out this morning in the service. Some of you are still baby, little baby sheep, and you're not expanding very fast. You're not, but if you'll pay attention, you're going to grow. Amen? If you'll pay attention, God's trying to bring goodness and fat, his fatness to every area of your life. Now, let me answer this question. Why does God want you fat? And some of you, again, don't take this physically. This is spiritually fat, okay? Several reasons, okay? Here they are. I'm going to give them to you real quick. Number one, to bring him glory. Listen to this. Jesus said this. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Bearing much fruit. What does that mean? A tree that bears much fruit is a tree that's producing a lot of fruit, man. It's putting it out there, amen? And he says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. So our expanding, our being fat brings glory to God. As we expand and grow in every one of these areas I'm talking about, it brings glory to God. That's why it's going on. This is my Father's glory. And that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves. Listen, this is the cool thing. It also bears evidence that you belong to Jesus. The fruit being produced in your life bears evidence that you belong to Jesus. This is my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. It tells the world that something different about that person. That, what is it? That person belongs to the Lord. Amen? That's what it's all about. Now, here's another reason that God wants you to be fat. Jesus said that when I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. Well, where do you think he's lifted up? Where do you think Jesus is lifted up? You think he's lifted up in this pulpit? You think he's lifted? Jesus is lifted up in you. Amen? Jesus is lifted up in me. Jesus is lifted up in us. And he says, when I be lifted up, in other words, when your life starts to manifest the fatness and the goodness and the things that I'm trying to bring into it, I'm going to draw people to me through you. It works. Amen? I had a lady one time tell me many years ago that I had known for years, and I really never preached at her, never really told her I was a Christian, but I walked in, I'd been kind of talking to her a little bit and sharing with her that I was going to start this church, and she kind of freaked out because she didn't even know I was a Christian or a pastor, and I said this to her, and you got to really know you heard from God before you say this kind of stuff, but I looked at her, I said, you're kind of drawn to me, aren't you? I told her, no, don't take this wrong. I said, I'm a happily married man. I've been that way for a long time. I'm going to finish out that way. Amen. Same woman right back there. She's watching me like a hawk. I got to watch every word I say right now. But I'm there. But I told her, I said, no, don't take this wrong. I said, but you're kind of drawn to me, aren't you? And she got a weird look on her face. She goes, yeah, I am. And I looked at her, and listen, she didn't know God. She didn't know Jesus. I said, that's God. That's God drawing you. See, Jesus, if I be lifted up. She wasn't drawn to me. She was drawn to him in me. Amen? Just like this guy. Amen? Amen. It just happens, you know? Good job. Amen. I kind of like that. Anyone else want to come on? No, just amen. But listen, she was drawn. So anyway, I said, that's God. I said, do you want to know him? She goes, yeah. And that day I prayed with her to receive Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. And he came into her life. Amen. And he changed her life from that moment on. Isn't that amazing? See, if I be lifted up, that's why God wants you fat with these things. Because if he's lifted up in us, then the world is drawn to him through us. This is so important. And here's the thing. God wants to use every one of his people this way, not just the pastor. Amen. Listen, it ain't going to be long for, I know we got some empty chairs in this church. It ain't going to stay this way much longer. Amen. Because as soon as you get fat, it's going to start spilling out all over the place. And people are going to become sitting next to you. Amen. So don't get comfortable. Amen. I believe in you're going to have to give up your seat. Amen? But this is what God is trying to do, okay? And here's the last one, to draw men and women to Christ through you. And here's the last one, to make you a blessing on the earth. How many of you wake up every day and you just, I don't really want to be a blessing. I just want to be a butthead. Now, I know some of you have been practicing that, but that ain't what God has for you. Amen? No, God wants you, listen, God wants you to be a blessing. Amen. And he wants this fatness in you. He wants this goodness in working in you so you can be a blessing to others. God's not wanting just bless you for you. Amen. And that's part of the problem. Is some of you, you think all that God's trying to bless you with is for you. No, God's trying to bless you to be a blessing. And we're going to get into that here even more. But listen, in the book of Acts, Jesus tells his early followers that he says, I'm going to fill you with the Spirit. So listen, they're about to become spiritually fat for the first time ever. They've never experienced that before. And he knows, the Lord knows, when I fill them, it's going to capture the world's attention. That's exactly what happened. Acts chapter 1:8, he tells them, but you will receive power God's power and God's potential when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. And so that it happens. They gather together, they wait, and he pours out the Spirit What happens? They receive the Spirit through faith. All of a sudden, miraculous things start to happen all around them. All of a sudden, people are drawn to them and attracted to them. The kingdom's expanding. Life is good. See, when you receive the Spirit, you receive God's potential, and it opens the way for God to do amazing things. When you get fat with God, things start to happen. But this is what's interesting. This is where I was going with that. In Acts 2:39, it says this promise of the Spirit, this outpouring, this infilling, it says this promise is for you, your children, for all who are far off, and for all whom the Lord our God will call. So who's that promise for? That promise for everybody, amen? For everybody the Lord will ever call, that promise is for everybody. So, but here's the most important question. What is the promise? The promise is the gift of the Holy Spirit given to us through faith in Jesus Christ. That's the promise. Now this is what's important about the promise. Once you have the Spirit, once you have received the promise, you are now marked for blessing. Okay? Once you receive the Spirit through faith in Jesus Christ, now you're marked for blessing. Now you've become a candidate to become God's fat sheep. If you're here today and you believe in Jesus Christ, the Spirit's been given to you and you've been marked for the blessing of God in your life. You've been marked by God so he can bring fatness into your life. Some of you are fighting it. Some of you are resisting it. Some of you don't really realize who you are yet in Jesus. You still think you're that same old person you were before you met him. You're not. Amen. I almost lost all my breath trying to say all that. But listen, that ain't who you are anymore. You're not who you used to be. God wants you fat in every area of your life. That fatness comes to your life through the Spirit. That's when it starts. That's when it begins. The Spirit comes into your life by placing your faith in Jesus Christ, and God begins to do his thing. He begins to bring fatness, and we're going to get into this. But listen, what I want to do is I want to take you back into the Old Testament to look at a guy by the name of Abram. Abram, A-B-R-A-M, okay? This is the first biblical glimpse of the promise of the Spirit in action. I want you to see this is an amazing story. This is huge. Okay, listen, This is huge. You have to pay attention. If anyone's sleeping next to you, slug them. Okay? Do something. Abram's story is extremely critical to our lives thousands of years later. You know why? Here's a few couple reasons. First, it's a thorough picture. Abram's life is a thorough picture of the workings of salvation by grace through faith, apart from the law. Okay? Abraham's life is the one of the best pictures we have of salvation by grace through faith, apart from the works of the law. Secondly, Abram, his pre-God days kind of remind me of our pre-God days. Here's why. A lot of people don't realize this, but Abram was a Gentile. Okay? He wasn't a Jew. He was a Gentile. He was a man. A Gentile is a person that doesn't know God. They're disconnected from God. They have no relationship with God. Abram was a Gentile, okay? And it says he was raised in the city of Ur. How many of you have ever been to Ur? Yeah, bad city. No, Ur, and listen, this is the interesting thing about this. I want you to think about Abram's background now. This is so cool because most of us as Americans are kind of, a lot of us were raised kind of, we're Gentiles, you know? We're not Jewish. Most of us in this church are Gentiles, and most of us grew up, a lot of us grew up apart from God. We didn't know God. He found us later, and that's a whole, we'll get into that. But Abraham, man, he so parallels our life because he's raised in this city called Ur of the Chaldees, somewhere on the border of Iraq over there in the Middle East. And he grew up, listen, he grew up in a culture of idolatry. In other words, they were worshiping false gods. They were religious, and they worshiped on this thing called a zurigat? Something like that? Is that what they call it? But it was kind of a stepped thing. Like, see how my steps come up here? It was a big temple kind of thing, and it had steps, and it get up to this final little temple on the top of it. And this is Abraham's day. There was one of these in the city of Ur, okay? And that's where all the Gentiles went to worship. And they this is going to make some grandmothers mad, but they worshiped the moon god. Her name was Nana. So if your kid's calling you Nana, you need to change that. You know what I'm saying? No, I'm just, but anyway, so Nana, the moon god, was who the people Abraham grew up around worshiped, okay? So Abraham grew up in a culture of idolatry, in a culture of people that did not know God and did not believe God or believe in the true God. And he was religious, but he was religious, and this is common in America. How many of you know we're in America? Okay, this is common in America. He was religious, but he had no true revelation of God. He was religious, but he had no true revelation of God. In other words, he was in the world without hope and without God in the world. But God, amen? But God, now this is what's cool. This is what's cool. This is how God works in our life. But God, by his grace, seeks out Abraham. Listen, Abraham's not looking for God. This is how grace works. God's looking for Abraham. Listen, we weren't looking for God. God's looking for us. That's the proof that he loves you, guys. He's looking for you. So here's Abraham. He wasn't looking for, he was just doing what all the other Gentiles do. He's worshiping Nana and doing his thing and hanging out at the Zurigat. I don't know how you say that. Anyway, it's a big name. But he was doing all that, but God showed up with his grace and his love and his compassion. And he picked out a man, said, I want to bless this. You got to think with me here. What did Abraham do to deserve that? Not a cotton picking thing. That's the same kind of love God's trying to pour out on you. God, Abraham hadn't done a cotton picking thing. God just decided, I want to pour out my grace and love on this man. I want to do something good in him. See, God initiated the relationship. I wonder if there's a reason the scripture says no one can come to the Father except the Spirit draws them. See, God drew Abraham in. God was looking for him. So, and then God finds him. And give me that first scripture, Genesis, or give me Genesis chapter 12. Is that Genesis chapter 12? Yeah, that's it. There it is. Listen to this. So the Lord shows up. Now what we don't know if the Lord showed up physically, in through an angel, but we do know he spoke to Abraham. I'm thinking he spoke to Abraham just like he speaks to us. Because how many of you know God speaks to us? Amen. I think he just brought a word to Abraham, and Abraham knew, hey, whoa. I remember that happened to me. You've heard my story on that. So I think God just brought a word to Abraham in his heart and his mind. God spoke to him because God can speak to us. God spoke to him, and Abraham knew, whoa, something spoke to me. I've never heard that voice before. But what's so cool is when he speaks, he brings blessing. When he speaks, he brings this amazing promise. Now listen to this. The Lord told Abram, leave your country, your relatives, and your father's house, and go to the land that I will show you. Now let me stop. Can I preach on that just for a second? This is probably the biggest reason some of you never grow and become fat Christians. Because you will not let go of the past to pursue God's future for you. You will not let go of past relationships. You will not go past failures. You will not go past relatives and people that keep you bound up and locked in the old junk that God sets you free from. He's already set you free, but you just want to keep hanging on to it. God was smart enough to know that if he was going to bring to pass his promise in Abraham's life, then he had to get Abraham away from the familiar and get Abraham away from the people that were bringing him down. Get him away from the idol worshipers. I got to get him out away from them so I can begin to bless him and pour goodness into his life. Amen. That's a word for somebody in this church this morning. Amen. If you want to be a fat Christian, that's a word for you. Anyway, then the Lord told Abraham, leave your country, your relatives, your father's house, and go to the land I will show you. And listen, I will cause you. Woo! I will cause you to become the father of a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and I will make you a blessing to others. Wow. Wow. Everything God just said to Abraham is amazing. I will do it all. I will bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you. All the families on the earth will be blessed through you. Could you imagine being Abraham? Hey, man, I don't know about you, but I want God to say that over my life. Amen? Y'all are sleeping, but I'm going to wake you up. I'm going to wake you. It's coming. It's coming. Listen to this. I will make you, I'm going to read this whole thing again. I will make you into a great nation. What did Abraham deserve that? I had a Daffy Duck thing going there for a second. Did you hear that? What did Abraham do to deserve God saying, I'm going to make you into a great nation? I will bless you. What did Abraham do? Nothing. What did he do to deserve that? Nothing. I will make your name great. What did he do for that? Nothing. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Wow. And he hadn't done nothing. You know what he did do? He believed it. Oh! Mm. He believed it. See, you have to understand that if God's going to work in our lives, He really only needs one thing from us. He needs us to agree with Him. Amen? God had a purpose, had a plan, had a promise for Abraham that He wanted to bring to pass in his life. And listen, if Abraham had rejected the promise, God would have probably had to go find somebody else. But Abraham believed what God said. Amen? That's what marked him for blessing. That's what released the Spirit into his life. And that's what set him in a position where God could bring fatness into every area of his life. Because he believed what God said. That hasn't changed, guys. That hasn't changed. God still works the same way. Amen? And I can't get into all this, but what's amazing to this, about this whole thing, is what God began to do in Abraham, and I can't get into all of it today, but what he began to do in Abraham, he kept on doing through Abraham's family, generation after generation. And this is what's amazing to me. This is what's amazing to me, and you got to get this. This is why we have small groups at Rock Church, because God, you have to take this, let's break this down to looking at Abraham, his life as a family unit. God was going to bless the whole world through a family. Amen. God was going to change the world through a family. Guess what? God's still wanting to bless the world through families. Amen. God's still wanting to raise up great families that make a difference and are world changers. Just like Abraham was a world changer, his family became a world-changing family. God's wanting to raise up hundreds of world-changing families right here. He's wanting you so fat that you change the world. I want fat families, man. I'm believing God for it. You're going to get this. But anyway, this thing that he started just kind of kept going. And I can't get into all that, but it's there. It's throughout all of Genesis, and it just keeps rolling throughout the whole of Scripture. But all of this was initiated in Abraham's life because he believed when God spoke. He believed what God said. He believed the promise. And listen, he didn't believe the promise because everything was going great. Amen? He didn't believe that. In fact, his wife was in bad shape. Amen? How many remember the story? I mean, God promised you the whole world's going to be blessed through Abraham, and he's going to have a son, and through that son, I mean, he's going to have multitudes of children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and he spoke, God spoke the word, and God, you know, God was blessing, and he was getting fat in other areas, but there were some things that weren't happening, things that weren't coming to pass, and Abraham's getting a little discouraged, you know, his wife was getting up there about 90. They still didn't have that kid yet. I don't know how she looked at 90, okay? But he was 100, and they didn't have a kid yet. But this is faith here. Abraham, against all hope, it says. This is, man, if you're going to be a fat Christian, you got to learn to believe when it's against all hope. It says, against all hope, Abraham believed. Against all hope. When it looked like it couldn't happen, when it looked like there was no natural way it was ever going to come to pass, when it looked like every devil in hell was fighting him, holding him back from realizing the promise of God, Abraham reasoned in his mind that if God is who he says he is, then God can do what he says he's going to do, and God will be faithful, and God will bring it to pass. He just held on to that promise. And what's amazing is God just fulfilled every one of these promises. And the one that I really want to hit on today before you get out of here is his promise of provision. Because I know some of you are going through some struggles financially right now. We heard a little bit about that from Jen. And there's some battles going on. And you're not as fat financially as you'd like to be. Some of the reason you're not as fat financially as you'd like to be is maybe you need to learn some things or whatever. But here's what I do know. God wants you fat financially. Amen? God wants you to walk in abundance financially. God wants to provide for you. Does anyone believe that in this place today? Now, the reason this story is so important about that is this. We have the whole story, guys. Listen to this. We have the whole story. We have it from the beginning to the end. So we can start at the end and say, how does it look when a brother believes what God says, stands on the promise? How's it look? Does it happen? Does it come? We have the whole stinking story. And I'm going to read the end of it first. I want to read the end of the story first, and it's in Genesis chapter 24, verse 1. I think we have that. Do we have that one on the board? Did I give you that one, Maddie? Okay, if I didn't, that's fine. I'll read it if I didn't. Genesis chapter 24, verse 1. Listen to this. Abraham, now listen, this is the end of his life. Abraham was now old and well advanced in years. How many want to live a good long life? Okay, listen, that was part of the promise, part of the blessing. He was old and well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. Not partial blessing. The Lord had blessed him in every way. That's a look at the end of his life, that as he listened to God and believed God, God blessed his life in every way. Listen, he didn't just have a little money, man. He was blessed in everything. He was blessed in relationship, blessed in family, blessed in goodness, blessed in health, blessed in money. He was blessed. God blessed him. Amen. That I think this is the kind of thing God wants to bring to our life. So what's so great about that? This is what's great about that. Galatians chapter 3. Some of you have been out there the whole time I've been preaching. Pastor, Abraham lived 6,000 years ago. What's that have anything to do with me? It has everything to do with you. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. New Testament. Down the road. Remember the promise he made to Abraham that every person on the earth will be blessed through you. Everyone remember me reading that? Everyone on the earth is going to be blessed through you, Abraham. Man, you know what that was? That was the gospel being preached way back then. Way back then, God pointing into the future, saying the whole world is going to be blessed through Abraham and through possessing the faith of Abraham and operating in the faith of Abraham. The whole world is going to have an opportunity to be blessed by receiving salvation by grace and connecting with me through the Spirit. The whole world's going to be able to receive that. So listen to this, Galatians 3:6. The first thing the apostle says is, consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. In other words, God declared, listen, you know why God declared Abraham righteous and marked his life for blessing? Not because he had obeyed all the rules and regulations of the law, the first five books of the Bible. You know why they didn't work for Abraham? They didn't exist. They didn't exist before Abraham. In fact, they came 430 years after Abraham's life, okay? That's why Abraham's so important to us, amen? He was blessed by God apart from the law. God, because Abraham believed what God said, you're righteous. I declare you righteous. Not because of what you've done, because you believe me. Wow. That's it. That qualified him for God's abundance and God's provision. Consider Abraham. He believed God. It was credited to him as righteousness. Understand. Oh, my gosh, I'm about to fall out here. Listen to verse 7. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. Are there any believers in here today? Okay, so if you're here today and you believe, you're a child of Abraham. Well, what's so important about that? I don't know. Don't you remember the blessings we talked about? That blessing, that covenant blessing of Abraham is a perpetual blessing on Abraham and his children. Understand then, those who believe are children of Abraham. That blessing is a blessing that is on Abraham and his children from generation to generation to generation to generation. Abraham's children are marked for the blessing of God. Are any of Abraham's children in this church this morning? The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles. Who was a Gentile? Abraham was a Gentile. The scripture foresaw, looking down the road, that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Oh, Pastor, you better read that again. All who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. All who have faith, you might catch a blessing once in a while. Does it say that? It says all who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Guys, here's the facts. If you believe in Jesus today, you've already been marked for the blessing. Okay? And it's not because you go to church every Sunday, although you better. I mean, you should. I'm going to get into that in a minute. But if you believe, you're already marked for blessing. You're marked for blessing, according to the Word of God. It's not because of what you do. It's because of what Jesus did. Okay? Now listen to this. Here's where the problem lies. Most of us that have been Christians in America for a long time were raised up with some screwed up thinking. Come on, someone give me an amen on that, please. I mean, we think, man, if I'm a good boy this week and I do everything just right and I don't get mad at my wife and she don't get mad at me and I obey all the rules of the church and the government and the city, and there's 40,000 new laws, by the way, made this year alone in America. 40,000. All of you are lawbreakers because you don't even know them. But that's no excuse for not obeying the law. Just hear me out on this, okay? But the problem is we've been taught that God won't bless us or God can't bless us if we don't obey all these rules and don't get everything right. You know, I've tried that, man. I tried that for years, man, and I mean, I want to do everything right. I want to live right. I want to honor God. I mean, I'm like most of you. I want to, but every once in a while, you mess up. Amen? Anyone else? Am I the only duck in this pond? Thank you. But listen to this. This is where I was getting to. I think this is going on in the church. I think this goes on in the church. It says, all who rely on observing the law and for blessing are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Listen, for 1,500 years, the nation of Israel, In the history we have in this Bible, men operated under the law of God. None of them ever could fulfill the thing. Even the real good ones, like David, the murderer and the adulterer. I mean, we run around and praise David like David was, he's a great guy, he's a man after God's own heart, but he also was a murderer and an adulterer. We got the history to prove it, amen? Yeah, amen. But listen, the reason God's so candid in Scripture about all that stuff is he wants us to understand. Listen, no one's justified by God by obeying all the law. The only reason the law of God was given to us, the only reason the Pentateuch, the new first five books of the Bible were given to us, were to show us that in ourselves we can't live this righteous life that God requires, and we need a Savior. And His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you believe in Him and put your faith in Him, from that moment on, God says, you are righteous in my sight and you're marked for my blessing. Anybody in here like that? See, and we've tried for years in the church. Man, I was in, I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I was involved with a church called the Assemblies of God. Nothing wrong with them. Some of you probably came out of there. But man, I want to tell you something. I was free when I went into church, but I was bound up when I left. I knew Jesus when I went in. I wasn't sure where He went when I came out of there. Because they got through so many rules and regulations, and man, you couldn't do this, and you couldn't do that, and you couldn't watch this, and you couldn't watch that, couldn't say that. Man, I couldn't even look at Terry and think she was pretty. I think I was doing something wrong, and how the heck can you marry someone you can't look at? I won't get into that. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about? So anyway, let me get back on track here. All this blessing that God promised Abraham, it resulted in God blessing his life financially. It says that, listen, Abraham, Genesis 13:2, listen, Abram became very wealthy in livestock, in silver, and in gold. And I find that really interesting because you and me are Abraham's seed, amen? I want you to read this. Go home. 12 chapters in the book of Jesus. Read his story, because that's our story. That's our story today. Because we believe in Jesus Christ, we are Abraham's seed. We're his children. And whatever blessing God had for Abraham back then, God has for you today. And finances are included in that decision. I read earlier, and back here, let me read it for you again. In 2 Corinthians 9:11, Apostle Paul tells us we're to be enriched in every way so we can be generous on every occasion. God wants his people blessed financially. He wants you fat with his provision. Why? So you go buy big screen TVs and drive Cadillacs and drive. No. God wants you blessed. He wants your needs met so you can take care of your family, take care of your responsibilities. But more than anything else, he wants you blessed so you can be a blessing to others. Amen? Listen, Abraham, what time is it?
Time to preach.
Okay, that's all I wanted to hear. Listen, Abraham was the first tither. Do you know that? Now that messes me up. Because he lived 430 years before the law of tithing was given. And yet he was the first tither. He had a revelation from God. This is what grace does. See, grace always, listen, when grace comes into your life, grace will always lead you to a higher plane of living. Amen? Grace will always elevate you. If you'll yield to grace, grace will always lift you up. Abraham, he understood that God's blessing was on his life. He believed it. He understood it. So when he had opportunity, he blessed God back. He didn't bless God back because he had to. He didn't bless God back because God wasn't going to love him if he didn't. He didn't bless God back for that reason. He blessed God back because he understood that he was blessed. Amen? And that blessing came from God. Amen? And because that blessing came from God, he was going to bless God back. Amen? He knew he had tapped into a good thing. I ain't giving God 10%. No way, man. I'm holding it. I may never get another dime. He knew there's no way I can't be blessed. God is who he says he is. He's blessed me. I got to be blessed. I can't be nothing but blessed. So I'm going to give back to God because I want to honor God. I want to honor what God honors. I want to support what God honors. Listen, you know who he gave to? He gave to this guy in the Bible called Melchizedek, who was a high priest. What was a high priest? A high priest was someone that represented the priority of God, represented the things of God. Listen to this. This will get you. God, throughout history, God has always perpetuated that which is a priority to him, which is the church, the high priesthood. See, the priesthood in the Old Testament became the church in the New Testament. God has always provided for and perpetuated the thing to him that's a priority through his people. He's always used his people to keep his stuff going. Amen? Listen, because it's a priority to God to be represented on the earth, God has always provided for that which represents him on the earth through his people. Amen? And here's what's amazing. God has always blessed his people that saw his priority in their life, amen, and perpetuated that priority. That's what Abraham was doing. He had no reason legally. No preacher standing over his head saying, you're going to go to hell if you don't give your money to Melchizedek. He didn't have that. He knew he was blessed. And the first opportunity he had to perpetuate what mattered to God, he gave to it. It was automatic. God's blessed me. I can't wait to bless him. It had nothing to do with feeling bad about it. Had nothing to do with beating himself up over it. He just, God's blessed me. I want to bless what matters to God. That's why that was long before the law was ever given. He's the first tither in the Bible. I think that's a pretty cool story. How many think that's a good story? Amen? That's pretty amazing. And he did, listen, God's blessing was all over the man. Everywhere he went. I mean, this guy would get in trouble and he'd lie, try. Listen, this will mess your theology up. And I don't want you doing this. I don't want you doing this. This guy would get in trouble, he'd lie, and he'd get blessed out of it. I mean, he'd go into this area, and he told his wife, now listen, they're going to think you're a fox. I have to do this with Terry all the time. They're going to think you're a really sharp gal, you know. They're going to try to take you away from me, and they're going to want to marry you. And just listen, they're going to kill me because you're so beautiful. So just tell them you're my sister. That's what he told her. I imagine, you know, I would probably be, if I did that, Terry, I would be dead before I ever got there, amen? Yeah, listen, tell him, but anyway, that's what, he lied. So right there, now most of us, right there, God can't bless me, I lied. He gets in that situation and tells his wife, tell me you're my sister. She does. This is what's cool when you're blessed. Listen, this is what's cool when the blessing of God's on your life. This guy, this king, takes his wife and he's going to have his way with her. I mean, all of a sudden, all hell starts breaking loose in his house, in this king's house. Man, something ain't right, you know. And he finds out that she's Abraham's wife. And the king, man, he goes out and he confronts Abraham. What do you mean telling me this woman just your sister, man? I almost married her. I almost had my way with her. Man, you're bringing a curse down on my family. You remember the scripture? Remember the promise? I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. Amen. Don't you ever curse me. Some of you have been cursing me, man. Have at it. You wonder why your pocketbook's empty. Go ahead. Curse me. Bring it on. You can't curse me, amen? That's what the word says. Listen, don't speak evil about your brother and sister, man. Amen? You can't. Listen, we're family. You can't. Don't be speaking bad about each other, amen? Because, you want to bless me. You want to bless each other because when you're blessed, God will bless you. Man, you don't curse your brother, you'll be cursed. Amen? So anyway, let me get back to the story. Abraham, I'm almost done. He's doing all this. He lied. The king says, man, you take that woman. You get out of here. And the king sends with him a bunch of mules and a bunch of gold and a bunch of goodies. For what? He didn't do anything to earn any of that. Well, that's the point. Amen. He was blessed. Amen. Listen, when you're blessed, the blessings just flow to you. You don't have to do something to earn them. Amen. They just come to you because you believe what God says. That's what happens. And listen, God if God doesn't do anything from this message this morning, I want him to do this. I want him to set all of us free from the curse of the law. You're not under the law, church. We're under grace. Now, grace doesn't lead you into sin. Grace always leads you to higher living. Titus chapter 2. The grace of God teaches us, denying ungodliness and worldly passions. You know, the grace of God always leads you to higher living. It always leads you to better living. Always. God will never lead you down. He will never lead you back into something he's setting you free from. God will never do that. The grace always leads you to a higher plane. Amen. That's how grace works. That's what grace was doing in Abraham. He was a Gentile. God changed his life and began to lead him into blessing because God loved him. Guess what God's trying to do to you? He's trying to change your life and lead you into blessing because God loves you. And it all starts with putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. From that moment on, you're righteous. Amen. From that moment on, you're righteous, you're marked for blessing, you're already blessed, and now it's just learning how to receive that blessing and walk in that blessing. Now, are there times when you have to listen to God? Listen, here's the one last thing I'm going to say. Here's what's important. This is a lot of things important, but listen to this. When you believe, the promise comes, the Spirit comes, and the Spirit begins to direct you. He begins to take you a direction. He begins to show you things. And a lot of times he's showing you to get out of some of the stuff you've been in and to walk a new way, just like he did Abraham. Why is he doing that? He's trying to lead you into blessing. He's trying to lead. Some of you struggle. Why isn't God providing for me? God is going to provide for you. God is going to take care of you. God wants to provide for you more abundantly than you can even ask, imagine, or think. But you have to listen to what the Spirit is saying to you. Amen? You have to follow his directives. If he's telling you to get out of an environment or to get into a different job or to leave a relationship, he's trying to bless you. He's not trying to hurt you. Amen. That's how it works. When he comes to bless. You have to believe it. You have to receive it. You have to walk in it. But listen, you're already marked for blessing. If you're Abraham's seed, God wants to provide for you more than you even understand. But you got to walk in that provision. Amen? Let's stand up together.